Good evening, everybody. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this ancient letter that is God-breathed and God-inspired. And we pray that this would come to us tonight, not only as words, but with power, with the Holy Spirit, with deep conviction that might settle in us tonight. Ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I don't know how good British people, British culture is at kind of being heartfelt and sincere and kind of expressing one's heartfelt, sincere feelings to another. What I think of is often it's when someone's had a fair bit to drink, like alcoholic drinks, that then suddenly it all kind of comes out, like, I love you so much. But actually, without that, I'm not sure how good we are at being sort of heartfelt, expressing our feelings, sincere. And so it's quite striking when you read Paul's letters, how heartfelt, how sincere, just how he put it all out there. And that's one of the things that I love about Paul's writings. So this is a letter of Paul. And the thing about the way of communicating in the ancient world is you couldn't just pick up the phone. You couldn't just pop and down and say something. People were living far apart from each other. There were no phones. You wrote a letter and you had to put it all out there. Paul, when he wrote to these churches, he had to put it all out there. It wasn't easy to do that. And this is one of his letters that he wrote with his co-ministers, Silas and Timothy. And they wrote it to this fledgling church, a community of believers. When we think church, we think quite organized, but actually the church at this point was not that organized. It was kind of people meeting in homes around the city, not in a very organized way. But he wrote to the community of believers in Thessalonica. I always pronounce it Thessalonica. Don't know about anybody else, but on the Bible Project, it was Thessalonica. So I'm going to go with that now. Anyway, this is one of, if not the earliest letters that Paul wrote from about 50-51 AD. Really, really ancient text. And basically, as it explained in the video, this letter came after Paul and his co-workers, Silas and Timothy, had traveled to Thessalonica on one of their missionary journeys and started to share the gospel of Jesus Christ for the first time. Now, it was fair to say that when they did that, it was a mixed reception that they got. You can read about it in Acts 17. A mixed reception from all out, fully embracing conversion to Jesus to violent hostility. So it was very, very mixed, and they kind of had to escape that place. And they left behind them then this kind of fledgling group of people who accepted this message, but were within a context of quite a lot of hostility and persecution. And so this letter now was written about a year or two after that visit, when they'd come and shared the gospel for that month and then been driven out. And here in this letter, Paul is expressing his concern, his heartfelt, sincere concern for this new and fragile group of believers in Thessalonica. Paul starts the letter by greeting them with grace and peace. What a lovely way to greet people, with grace and peace. This is not I guess I'm laboring the point of this being very heartfelt, but it's not a professional, business-like letter, you know? This is very warm, relational, sincere. And Paul then continues in verse 2, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. These were people who were dear to Paul's heart. And as we look at this section of scripture, we can see the reasons why Paul and co. were thankful to God for this group of believers. And it wasn't because they were so well organized as a church. It wasn't because they had a fantastic like worship group or were really skillful or were the best, you know, in their professions. It's all around their faith as they've received it. So they thank God for the church. And for three sort of different reasons I'm going to look at. And the first kind of reason is the whole story of their coming to faith. They thank God for how the Thessalonians came to faith. And we're looking here at verses 5 and 6. So verse 5, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. And then it carries on, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. And verse 6, you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. So he's retelling and reminding them of the story of their coming to faith through the preaching and the teaching of Paul and co. And Paul thanks God because they didn't just hear the words and kind of say, oh yeah, you know, sounds quite good. The words, the gospel came to this community with power and it settled within them with a deep conviction. And I just wonder if you can reflect on your own journey of faith. Have you had those moments where the gospel came to you with power and like settled in you with deep conviction? With the Holy Spirit. For me, I've grown up around church my whole life. I've heard the gospel so many times. I heard the words, but I can still pinpoint and remember moments where it was like it clicked. It was like a light bulb moment. I remember praying the creed at a Christmas service, having probably been in services where they prayed that, and it suddenly like hitting me. Oh my goodness. What this means. I remember the verse, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I must have heard that Jesus died for me so many times, but that particular moment it came and it hit me with settled, deep conviction, with power and with the Holy Spirit. I wonder if you have moments like that. And Paul is thanking God because the Thessalonians had that experience when the gospel was shared. And this thing of becoming an imitator of us and of the Lord. It's like when you receive the gospel and you look at other Christians and you look at Jesus and you start to want to be like them. I wonder if you've got people who are like heroes to you, heroes in the faith, who really set that example and who you just saw something in them, you wanted to be like them. Paul also thanked God. He wasn't bigging himself up, but he was just saying, this is a mark of God's work in you, you wanting to be like us. And he thanks God because they welcomed that message in the context of severe suffering, persecution, hostility. They welcomed the message. Wow. Paul thanks God for the story of the Thessalonians coming to faith. Paul also thanks God for the depth of their faith and the outworking of it in difficult times. So I'm looking now at verse 3. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 9. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. These believers had experienced like massive change in their life. The gospel was outworking, was being worked out with fear and trembling in their lives. They weren't just kind of head believers, but this was actually making a practical difference. And Paul thanks God for that. He thanks God for that faith that has gone deep and that is being worked out in their lives. Heart change, lifestyle change, that's what the gospel is meant to do. I met up with a friend on Friday, a really good friend, actually. She was the first person I ever met at university. We were next door neighbours. And She goes to a Methodist church, and she was just telling me on Friday about an experience that she'd had, a difficult experience, but how it's how it's had an impact on her, in that now in her daily life, she's seeking and experiencing more closeness with Jesus than she has before. And I thanked, even as I say it, I thank God for his work in her life, because this is something a bit new, it's a bit different. She, by her own admission, she lives quite a secular life. And something has happened in which her life with Jesus, her faith, is being outworked in a new way in her life. And I just was like really rejoicing about that on Friday when we met up. And it was just great to hear how she's enjoying that new dynamic. The third reason that Paul thanks God for the Thessalonians' faith is the way that they are now sharing their faith with others. And here we're going to look at verse 8. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. This fledgling group of believers in a world of where they're minority, they're persecuted, they are sharing their faith. Their faith is becoming known. And Paul thanks God. Paul thanks God for their faith. He thanks God for this church. And I was thinking about it. I was thinking about Jesus' parable of the sower, you know, and where Jesus talks about seed falling on good soil and then the seed growing up, producing a crop and it multiplying. And I was thinking, wow, the Thessalonian church are an example of seed falling on good soil, hearing the word, accepting it, and producing a crop, even in very, very difficult circumstances. If Paul wrote to us at KPC, would he thank God for us for these same reasons? Would he thank God for the stories of our coming to faith? Would he thank God for the depth of our faith and the outworking of it in difficult times? Would he thank God for the ways that we are now sharing our faith with others? I'd kind of like to think that Paul would see much to thank God for, but it's challenging to think about, though, isn't it? And when you think about our church community, do you thank God? What do you see in our church community that you thank God for? And then I wonder, when you think about your own personal faith, do you find it easy to give thanks to God, to sort of stop and reflect and look back, as Paul is doing here with the Thessalonians, look back on your own faith and see what God has done and thank God? Or do you find it easier or more natural to think everything that you're not, or where you're not, or where you struggle, or how far you are from where you'd love to be or where you think you'd love to be in Christ? I don't know, what does your mind go to? I was thinking, I wonder how it must have felt being a member of the Thessalonian church, hearing this read, because that's what it would have been. You would have been sat hearing it read publicly in the gathering, because not everybody could read. There'd be maybe one or two people who could read in the community, so everybody else would sit and the letters would be read publicly. I wonder how you would feel hearing it, being a church in a very vulnerable, fragile place, a minority facing discrimination, facing persecution, not to mention the personal challenges and struggles that individuals in the Thessalonian church would have been going through. How incredible to have someone that you look up to in faith, someone who was instrumental to you in coming to faith, encouraging you and writing to you to say, we always thank God for you, and continually mention you in our prayers. Yeah. So yeah, I just feel like saying, I always thank God for you. Not comparing myself to Paul, by the way, but I thank God for you, for your faith, for the way your faith outworks in so many different ways. Sometimes it's hard for us to see it ourselves. And I think that each of us needs a person or people in our lives who see us, who see perhaps what we struggle to see, and who encourage us, like Paul and co did for the Thessalonian church. We need people who remember for us when we find it hard to remember for ourselves. I'm really close with my dad, and obviously I've known my dad my whole life, and we share the same faith, and I really am blessed by the way that he, when I'm maybe struggling or kind of not remembering God's goodness, he will remind me of things, you know, because he knows me, he knows my life, and he'll remind me of things that God's done or what God said or what happened. And, you know, I'm in this precarious time now for myself where, you know, I don't know where I'm going to be next ministering, and it's all a bit weird navigating it, and you can kind of lose your nerve in it a bit and doubt yourself and all of that. To have people, to have my dad around who can remind me of what God's called me, who God calls me to be, I need that because I forget and get a bit shaky. I wonder who you have who can remember for you, who can thank God for you. Who can you lean on to encourage you? We all need that.
It's true.
And I wonder, who can you be a person of encouragement to as well? I think we all need it, but we also need to do that for somebody else. Who comes to your mind when you remember before God and thank God? Who do you remember before God? Who do you thank God for? How can you encourage them? I gave this 1 Thessalonians series the title Sharing Faith, Sharing Life, because that theme just comes out so much through this letter, and it's a big theme in the life of this early church. The life of faith is one that is shared. Sharing faith, sharing life. It takes place in the context of relationships. And remember our verse of the year? Now you are the body. Now you are
the body of Christ.
Now you are the body of Christ. And each one of you is a part of it, relational. We are all part of it. And it's why we gather as a church like this. It's why we're in our home groups. We need one another. We need to pray for one another. We need to encourage each other. We need to remember for one another what God has done. As we see it modeled here by Paul and co for the Thessalonians. We always thank God for all of you, and continually mention you in our prayers. So I'm just going to pose a few little questions that will help us in our response time in a moment. Who do you thank God for? What do you thank God for in this church community, in your home group? It might be that at some point you could take a risk and be really heartfelt and sincere about expressing that. Who encourages you? Who remembers for you? And if you don't have anybody, ask God for a person like that in your life. And who could you be that person for? We're going to have a bit of response time now, and how it's going to work is we're going to sing the song Give Thanks, and we're going to sing the song all the way through, and then I'll lead us in a few sort of prayerful prompts, and in between each one we'll sing the chorus, the Give Thanks chorusy bit again, but let's sing it all the way through, but maybe we'll stay seated as we reflect.
Give thanks.
with a grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now.
The music plays, and we'll sing that give thanks little refrain again in a moment. But first of all, as the music plays, just thank God for revealing the gospel to you. Thank God for those times when the gospel came to you, not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. And just recall and remember those times. Thank God for the people who shared the gospel with you. People are around you, maybe even around you right now in pews sat near you. Thank God for them. Thank God for how you see their faith outworking, how you see God at work in their lives. You might want to include other people that you know who aren't part of this church community, but who are siblings in faith. Finally, thank the Lord, particularly for those people who encourage you, who help you to remember when you find it hard to remember yourself. Thank God for them. Or in this moment, you might want to ask God in faith for a person like that in your life. And think again, pray again into who are you that person for? God, for all of you, and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. God, I thank you for each and every person here tonight. That each of us are loved by God and chosen by you. And that we need one another as well. That each one of us is a part of the body of Christ and a member of it. Thank you. Amen.